listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the great Father heart of God to every single human being, inviting us to be restored to His love, grace, favor, blessing, and care through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, to become new creations and to become agents of His love, truth, kindness, and mercy to a needy world around us. Now today, I want to invite you to explore with me the glorious secrets of Psalm 23. I think Psalm 23 is the most famous of all the Psalms, the most loved of all the Psalms. It's also the most interesting of all the Psalms. It is a prayer and a prophecy and a declaration. In fact, in Psalm 23, you will find it is not exactly a prayer, it's a declaration or a confession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very short psalm, and yet loaded with wonderful truth and revelation. You will see, as I said, it's not really a prayer. It's a declaration of who the writer, King David, believes that the Lord is to him. He's his shepherd. And because the Lord is his shepherd, he's not going to want for any good thing. Now, I invite you to make this your daily prayer, or to make it a lifetime prayer and declaration. A declaration and an affirmation of who the Lord is to you and what the Lord is doing for you. It's so complete. The reality is wonderful. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what a shepherd is. If you're a sheep, it's a metaphor here. A sheep, they cannot survive really in the wild unless there's somebody taking care of them. They're too weak. They become the object of the predators. The fox, the lion, the bear all love to see the sheep because they're very easy to kill and to overcome. They're not very fast and they can be easily destroyed by predatory animals and beasts. So, in Middle Eastern times and to this day, wherever people are raising sheep, they need a shepherd. Very, very few places can sheep be left out in the range. Only in places where there are no wild predatory animals such as foxes or wolves. But where there are foxes, wolves, bears and lions, the sheep need a shepherd. And that's what the Lord gives this metaphor, that this life is too complicated and too difficult for any human being to make it on their own. We need the care of God Himself to look after us, to nurture us. So God isn't just a spectator to our lives. He has become our good shepherd, the one who takes care of us personally. When Jesus ascended, He didn't just give us a rule book. He connected us with Himself. He became the good shepherd, which John speaks of in John's Gospel, chapter 10, there Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He's the one to take us into His care, to lead us through life, to lead us in the paths of righteousness, to lead us by the still waters, to nurture us, to protect us from the predatory animals. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The predatory animals try to destroy the sheep, but I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He's the good shepherd who lays His life down for the sheep. Jesus, seeing us in our weakness, came to rescue us, and He interposed Himself between us and the destroyer. He took the punishment, the guilt, and He took the shame upon Himself, and He made sure that the predatory devil would not destroy us. and we have come to find refuge in him. He invites us to find refuge under his protection. The big thing is, will we accept his invitation? He gives us free will. He offers us this wonderful realm to bring us in under his protection. In the famous book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, who himself was a shepherd, and he observed, he himself and he and his sheepdog would stay many a night watching over the sheep, making sure that no bear or wolf would come near those sheep. And he had tremendous insight, therefore, into Psalm 23. He also observed how some sheep weren't well taken care of, and they became neglected or vulnerable to the attacks of the fox, the bear, or the wolf. When we belong to the Good Shepherd, he takes good care of his sheep. He nurtures us. He feeds us. He gives us the finest food. He feeds us with his own word, and he protects us. He leads us on from pasture to pasture. In the Middle East, when the pasture would be eaten up by the sheep, the good shepherd would know where the next good pasture is, and he would lead them on, as the Bedouins do today. They're nomadic people, and they lead their sheep on from one pasture to the next pasture. They also lead them to still waters. They lead them to quiet waters where they're not afraid to drink of the water, and they're well taken care of. A good shepherd in the modern world today will make sure that the sheep have all their shots, that they're well taken care of. Now, we have come to the Lord to be our shepherd. We either make our way through life on our own, just governed by our own intelligence, our own will, our own cunning, or we put ourselves in the care of the Heavenly Father and the one whom he has appointed to be our good shepherd. Jesus is our good shepherd. So when you make a conscious decision, however old you are, whether you're young or old, say, Lord, I need your help. I want you to guide me through life by your care, to show me the right places for me to go, the right places for me to be. Keep me under the shelter of your protection. Keep me from the predatory designs of the evil one who would come to destroy my life, lead me astray, lead me out of the path of righteousness and away from your path. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is my personal caretaker. Do you see that the Lord is inviting you to put yourself under his care and to be your personal caretaker? That's why we need to talk to him every day and to thank him for the wonderful protection he has brought us into. Wherever you've been in the past, maybe you've been beaten up by life, battered, done a lot of wrong things. But when you come to him, he gives you a new beginning. He washes you clean. He removes he takes the ticks and the fleas and the diseases and the burrs out of the sheepskin. He washes that sheep. So he gives us a new start, and he begins to feed us with proper food that we begin to get a recovery of our spiritual and moral and physical health. So any place is a good place to begin. He takes us in wherever he finds us, and we say, Lord, I'm coming to you in my raggedy shape. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for taking me into your flock. And we become part of the Lord's flock. It's a metaphor for being taken care of by God himself and by Jesus, our personal caretaker, our leader, our guide, and our Lord protector. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, where before you were under a sort of a curse. You were oppressed. You were driven about, knocked here and there by every wind of doctrine, or by the forces of this world, by the demonic forces, by the troubles of your own sowing and reaping. And now you've returned to his care, and he's making you to lie down in green pastures. There's a rest for the people of God when we're resting in the care of God. Cast all your cares on him, because he now cares for you. You've come to allow him to be your caretaker, and for you to respond to him in gratitude and in trust. He leads me by still waters, fresh drink of living water. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I'll give you a drink of living water. He gives us a drink of his spirit, so that flowing through our spirit is no longer confusion or sinfulness, but the pure life of the Lord God's goodness, God's kindness, the fruit of the Spirit are flowing through us because we're drinking of the heavenly life of God Himself. We're imbibing the Lord's help and we're imbibing the Lord's life, the drink of living water. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Once we were in the paths of confusion, once we were walking in the way of the world, once we were walking in the way of selfishness or self-determination, now we've returned and say, Lord, you lead me in the right path. And we ask forgiveness where we've walked in the paths of unrighteousness. And now, from now on, with His care and with His life in us, leaning and depending on Him, He's leading us. Stay away from this. This is the wiser thing to do. This is the better way. Stay away from certain all kinds of immorality. This is the right thing to do. This will bring blessing to your life. This will bring joy to your life. This will be the right path. And He's leading us who once walked in the wrong path. He's inviting all who once walked in the wrong path that we would allow Him to lead us in the right path. Not to be governed by our emotions or our opinions, but to be governed by His wonderful way. All His ways are righteous and upright. All His ways are peaceful. All His ways are beautiful. He will make something beautiful of your life if you make the Lord your shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't really die. Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die. But we go through the shadow of death. Because when we walk through the shadow of death and put away this mortal body, we enter into a far, far more wonderful and beautiful life in paradise and in heaven. So we've got nothing to fear about death because it's only a shadow for us. It's not the real thing. It's only the putting off of the body and our connection with this planet and going on to live with Him in heaven. He brings immortality to life. He gives eternal life to those who trust Him. Who wouldn't want to receive Jesus as their good shepherd? For you are with me. He'll walk through every moment, through difficult situations, through the storms of life, through the easy places of life, and through the shadow of death itself. He'll be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, the Lord is your shepherd. Make Him your shepherd with all your heart. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Even in the middle of life's problems, there He is, taking care of you. Not in the absence of enemies, but in the presence of enemies. Not in the absence of difficulties, but in the presence of difficulties. The Lord is well able to take care of you. Whatever tribulations or trials come your way. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, there's anointing for the people of God. Ask Him to anoint you with the Holy Spirit and with power, that you may be a witness for Him, that you may be anointed with the oil of healing and the anointing to spread His word and to know and love Him. Ask Him to anoint you more than you've ever been anointed before. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is the punchline. Goodness, His goodness and mercy will follow you, will be with you all the days, not just some of the days. All of the days of your life, even days that don't seem pleasant, even days that seem dreary, His goodness and mercy will be sustaining you, upholding you, and causing good things to happen with you and around you every single day. He will bless you and make you a blessing. And then David writes, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I go before you to prepare a place for you. Your place in life is to be under the care of God, your Father, and under the care of your good shepherd, Jesus. That's where you belong. So respond to the good invitation. Respond to the great invitation and come to Him as your good shepherd and your Lord. And you'll dwell with Him forever and He will dwell with you and you'll be nurtured by His goodness all the days of your life into eternity of eternities. So Lord Jesus, today we respond to your good invitation, your great invitation, to make you our good shepherd and to dwell in your house forever. And we expect your goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell under the shadow of your protection and care. Today I decide to live under your care and not under my confused ways anymore. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd and the caretaker of my soul. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the donations of listeners like you. We'd love to hear how you're enjoying these programs. You can contact us at our website, reconciliationoutreach.net. Click the contact button there and send us a message. Also, you can write to us, Paul and Nulo O'Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. One of my brothers was recently in a hospital, sedated and using a ventilator for help breathing because of the pneumonia in his lungs. After a week, the staff in the hospital is finally bringing him out of sedation so that he can communicate with them. It wasn't too long ago that he was in the same hospital with the same conditions. It was April of this year, just 7 months ago, lying in a hospital bed with the same condition, only this time the condition is worsening. Now, the vodka has brought additional problems that are causing his body to break down. His marriage is in distress, and if there's a sport on TV, I'm sure there's a bet along with it. The alcohol has consumed his life and destroyed his relationships along the way. People may always wonder, why does God allow that to happen to me, or why did God let that happen? Scripture lets us know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, "The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy." I sit here and watch as this addiction to alcohol steals, kills, and destroys my brother's life, my brother's marriage, my brother's finances, and my brother's relationships. God is not doing this, and God loves my brother so much that he sacrificed his only son, Jesus, so that my brother can be saved and free from the destruction of the devil. Jesus also lets us know in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he comes to give life and give it abundantly. I am a witness to that truth. Jesus saved me from my alcohol addiction almost 10 years ago. He has changed my life, restored my relationships, and created new ones. Jesus has put a new purpose in my life and has given me joy and love with my family. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, God tells us everything starts new and that the old is passed away. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts, God does not lie. The devil does. And once my brother returns home from the hospital, the devil will once again be whispering in my brother's head, "You don't need any help." God warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. And once again, God doesn't lie, the devil does. God tells us in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I cried out to Jesus and he saved me from my addictions, and I'm now praying my brother does the same. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
We live for you. Holy. Thank you. to worship you, O Lord. I love to worship you. You have given me so much to be thankful for, and I love you is not enough to express my love. Everything I have inside of me, Lord, I give to you. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do but worship you. Oh Lord, I love to worship you. Yes Lord, I love to worship you. You have given